Добрый день. Спасибо, что вы выбрали компанию Bill Henry Air. Наш полет будет проходить на высоте 300 тысяч фит. И еще ватка. Наш полет включает борщ. Я еще хочу упомянуть Чернобыль. And now, here's Phil.
Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686. We wanted to talk about auto racing. Actually, there have been a few tragic moments in the sporting world the last few weeks. You're familiar with the deaths of Payne Stewart and with the death of Walter Payton. We had a tragic, fatal accident during an automobile race in Fontana here in Southern California over the weekend. Austin Amarca is a former stock car driver. He was not on the NASCAR circuit, but worked on a mini circuit. I guess one of the minor league circuits, the circuit that one races on before one becomes a major leaguer, if you will, in NASCAR racing. That is the stock car racing. And we wanted to bring Mr. Mark on the line here tonight to talk about, I guess this is one of these discussions that people have concerning auto racing accidents and how much of a lure that is for the fans and how much of a turnoff it might be. And is it something the sport needs? It's like people argue hockey needs fighting.
I don't think the sport needs accidents, Mr. Henry, when it involves the deaths of some tremendous young drivers and some tremendous young talent. I think what the sport needs is more education in the way of education of these drivers, in the way of mechanics, active physics, and what needs to be done out on the course. I think that a lot of the drivers you have are educated insofar as the mechanics of their automobile, but I don't know that they're that educated insofar as the speeds that they're racing at. And you're getting upwards of 200 miles per hour now on a lot of these professional tracks, and some of these drivers probably got a little bit too much vinegar in their blood for their own good. That's why I have retired from racing.
You were on the mini circuit for how long?
I raced for about 15, 20 years just on the mini circuits, racing in places like Tucson, the old days at Riverside. I raced at North Star Speedway in Minnesota. I've raced all of these tracks that are minor league tracks, the next level toward NASCAR racing. But I gave it up because I think the sport has gotten too much into money and too much into selling personalities, not selling racing. I'm a racing purist. I believe that the drivers need to be educated insofar as they need to know about everything that goes into racing an automobile, from the mechanics of the automobile itself to the physics involved to the speeds, the relative to the relative safety of tracks, and all of those things that one needs to know to race to get into a fast race car and race it safely. And that's why I've given up on racing, and I hope that in the years that I've got remaining to me, I can be a part of this this educational process.
Well, you're talking about the commercialization of the sport?
Well, the sport's been commercialized. The sport has, in the old days of Richard Petty, Cale Yarborough, Bobby Allison, I think these were some real drivers. Nowadays, you've got these young guys, they got a nice smile on their face. I raced all these guys when they were coming up. I raced Jeff Bodine and Jeff Gordon. I raced them all, and Brett Bodine, as they were coming up through the ranks. And I've seen how these guys have changed over the years. There used to be some real gung-ho drivers out there. Now you got guys, it just seems to me, and I might be just showing my age, that they're more interested in, in flashing a smile to the crowd than they are than in winning a race. I think race car drivers need to be educated, and that's what I hope will happen.
Tell us a little bit about driving a stock car, not NASCAR, because you were on a lesser circuit, but driving a stock car.
Well, it's a great sport. It's a great feel.
I'm more interested, really, in what happens out on the track when you get out there. You're talking about being educated and thinking of all of these things that you have to think of, the speed of the car, the bank of the track, I guess, all of those things. What goes through your mind?
Well, what goes through your mind is you want to win. I love speed, and I love to go fast, and I love driving driving the fast race cars. But I guess,
for instance, when you leave the pit, and you hit the, or at the beginning of a race, I should say, when you're all parked there on the track and you're ready to go, what's going through your mind?
Well, what's going through your mind is you want to win. You're waiting for the announcement, gentlemen, start your engines, and you get going. You, as soon as they fire the gun, there's generally a starter pistol that gets fired, and off you go down the track. And
what is happening in that first, when you are first making that first turn?
Well, most drivers will go low on the track, and I noticed that a lot of drivers will go low on the track into that first turn, and I noticed that that left a lot of space up high on the track. And so what I did in my racing days is I would take a high turn there because there's nobody up there. And you really want to gun it. So what you do is you press that accelerator all the way to the floor and you just go. And you're racing as fast as you can. And you're trying to beat them to the turn. And if they're all going low in the turn, I'll stay high again because that, there's no cars up there. And
what if I could interrupt you for a minute, Mr. Remarca?
Sure.
One of the things that I see when I watch auto racing is these cars get in a line. And they start what they call drafting. You familiar with that?
Oh, yeah. Drafting's very common. That's when you get in behind a lead car, and you're almost touching bumpers. And that's when you're going at speeds of 200 miles per hour. One false move, and you've got yourself a serious situation. But all the cars get in line, and they go around the track real fast when they're in line like that. And
What is that, drafting?
No, I don't. It's an interesting thing. I don't think anybody really knows what that is. What basically what you're doing though is you're getting in line and you're going real fast. And I noticed that you can go real fast if you get in behind the guy, and then the guy gets in behind you, and you go real fast. What I like to do is go as fast as I can because that's what it's about. Speed is what it's about. And if you can go as fast as you can, and you're going really, really, really fast in the car, I tell you, you got a good chance to be there.
But this drafting thing that I was talking about, because it looks very dangerous, and yet it seems to be a technique or a tactic that a lot of drivers employ.
Yeah, we do. And
what the dynamics involved in that?
Well, I don't know, but you just go fast. And you're in behind a guy, and you got to have respect for a fast race car. Fast race car drivers driving fast in a racetrack, they drive really fast, and that helps them go as fast as they can. I've gone a lot of times doing that drafting thing, and then I'll notice a guy will swing out and go around, and that can be really dangerous, but that's part of it.
Have you been in an accident or many accidents?
Knock on wood, Phil. I haven't been in too many, but...
What's the most serious accident you've been involved in?
Well, I was in Tucson one year. This was back in 87. I got bumped from behind, and the car started drifting. I hit the wall about six times. I'll tell you, it's a frightening thing to see your car begin to disintegrate around you. That's basically what happened to me.
You were bumped? Was that in a drafting situation?
No, that was not. That was just somebody had come up from behind and clipped me, and I hit the wall about five, six times, and the car literally was starting to dissolve around me to the point where literally I had lost the chassis, I had lost the whole body of the car, and the only thing that was left really was the seat assembly. So I was literally sitting there in the seat, sliding across about 500 yards of racetrack, holding onto the wheel. And the humorous part about this, people have told me later, obviously I was still trying to control the car, but the wheel was not connected to anything. So
it's just you in the bucket seat.
That's just me sitting in a seat, sliding down 300 yards of racetrack, holding onto the wheel and trying. The instinct kicks in at that moment, Phil. And even if the wheel's not connected to anything, you're still turning the wheel, even though it wasn't connected to the engine or anything. It was just...
You were just holding onto a wheel.
I was holding onto a wheel, yeah, but still trying to control it. And I slid about 300 yards down the racetrack and then onto the apron, just sitting in that seat. I can tell you that's one of the most frightening things that's ever happened to me. And knock wood, it hasn't happened too many other times, but that can really make you think whether you want to be a race car driver or not. And fortunately for me, I don't have a lot of fear, so that wasn't the thing that got me out of it. What got me out of it most of all was just the sport's too commercialized, and I don't think the drivers are educated. And that's the thing about stock car driving that bothers me the most.
Can we take a few phone calls?
I'd be happy to, Phil.
Austin Remarca, former stock car driver, on the state of NASCAR, the state of automobile racing in America. Our number is 1-800-449-8686. I saw a race, I think, with the Indy 500, where the body of the car just evaporated almost around this driver. I don't think I've ever seen a guy just sliding in a bucket seat down the raceway. But that has got to be something that you'll never, ever forget. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Hendry Show. Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686. Talking about automobile racing. And we had a fatality out here in California over the weekend, and there is the argument that fans go to see auto racing to watch a driver lose control of a car and get into one of these enormous fireball-style accidents. I don't think that anybody wants to see anyone die. I think they're looking for the thrill of it. Would you agree? And Mr. Austin DeMarco, who is a former driver on a stock car circuit, would you agree that they don't want to see anybody die?
Well, I don't know. I don't know what's in the mind of a lot of fans. Sometimes you start out and you're driving really fast around the track and you look up, and there are times I would be racing, I'd look in the grandstand, and I would get lost in thought about what those people are thinking. Do they want to see me die? Do they want to see me get in an accident? Or do they want to see me do well? And you can get lost in thought. One of the things about racing stock cars, or any kind of racing, I guess, although I'm not a big open-wheel fan, I don't know what those guys do, but...
When you say open-wheel, you mean IndyCar?
IndyCar and the formula race cars. But you can get just sort of swept away in thinking about your life and what you're doing with your life. And that's what happened to me. I decided that there wasn't the best thing for me.
Okay, here is Tampa on the Phil Hendry Show. Hello.
Hi, I'd like to have your guest explain that drafting again. I'm not sure that he explained it very well.
Okay, we're not asking questions here. Did you have a comment?
Yeah, I don't believe he knows what he's talking about.
Why were you asking me to repeat what I said?
Well, because you just said drafting was to go fast, and that doesn't explain it.
It helps you go fast.
Yes, it does.
All right.
But it doesn't make you go fast.
Well, what is drafting, anyway?
Drafting is when you get in behind the car in front of you, and you're moving along with it. Okay, I don't know what else do you need to know.
Well, how long have you been driving?
About 15, 20 years.
Yeah.
And you drive?
No.
Well, I guess that ends that conversation.
I guess it does.
Thanks a lot. That's two calls in two nights from Tampa. Both of them sucked. So we're going to have to wait when we take another call from Tampa, I would think. Just maybe give Tampa about a month. Here's Gastoni on the Phil Hendry Show. Hello.
Hello?
Yes, sir.
Yes, I called him about the topic you have on your NASCAR.
Yes, sir.
I disagree with him about the drafting part. Drafting, it goes, makes you, gets you moving in faster to go around the cars to make you move.
Well, you know when you're going really fast around the track.
Huh?
When you're going really fast around the track.
Yeah.
Okay, that's so you can get going fast.
Yeah, but the drafting helps you do that.
Right, that's what I said to that other guy.
Yeah, he's in Tampa. What the heck do you expect?
Yeah, exactly.
He's not around from the NASCAR country where I'm from. I'm around here, NASCAR 24/7.
That's right. I like to go fast in a car.
Yeah.
Do you?
Oh, yeah. I've rode dirt track. I ain't never drove the big stock cars, but I drove dirt track around here in Gaffney and...
All that stuff, yeah.
Yeah.
A lot of times when you go really fast, you can win the race.
Mm-hmm. But you got that drafting helps you cut down on your gas and stuff. It helps your fuel mileage.
See, I wasn't too sure on that. I don't know what I see guys do it, but I don't know why they were doing it.
Yeah, it helps you cut down.
Would
your
you do
fuel
it?
Conserve fuel and it helps conserve your tires.
It does what?
It helps conserve your fuel and your tires.
Yeah, that's what I heard. But I mean, it's exciting to go fast on a racetrack, and that's one of the reasons why I do it.
That's it.
Okay, but the fast car drivers driving fast in the racetrack, they will do that drafting deal that you were talking about.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, but you understand, sir. You're saying that it's to save fuel.
Save fuel.
How does it? How does it save fuel? In other words, you're not
the drafting. The car that's in front of you has to push yourself farther to pull you across, and it has to conserve your fuel. Like if you're in one and two, position one and two. But to position two is conserving fuel by getting right up on the guy, front guy's bumper and letting him pull him around the track.
Right. Well, that's what happened to me when I got in that wreck. I was drafting. A guy bumped me from behind. The whole car disintegrated. And the next thing you know, I'm sliding down the track in just a bucket seat.
Yeah, and I've never seen one disintegrate just like that.
Oh, my God. I tell you what happened to me was I was in the seat assembly. And all that was left was the two bucket seats, and I'm sliding down the length of the track, holding onto the wheel. And, of course, the wheel had been severed from the column, and yet the instinct kicks in. You want to try to turn the wheel.
Track.
Even though it wasn't even connected to nothing, you know.
Yeah, that's instinct. I mean, when you crash and stuff, that's what you're holding on, trying to keep the car straight and all. But
right.
I've never seen one disintegrate like you're talking about.
What do you mean?
Just the seat and the steering wheel. I've never seen anyone disintegrate like that.
That's what happened to me. Just the seat and the steering wheel. That was it. I tell you, it put the fear of God into me.
I guarantee it would.
My brother. And I'll tell you something else. You don't ever want that to happen to you.
Nah, I ain't never had one real bad. I've had one turn over, head over in, hood over trunk.
Yeah.
But I've never had one disintegrate on me.
The whole body left.
What about the wheels, the tires?
All of those just rolled right off. There was nothing left but me in the seat.
Dang.
Yeah, yeah.
And it didn't happen, but I've never seen one happen like that.
I'll tell you what, brother. This happened to me in Tucson, Arizona, 1987, and all the tires were gone. The body of the car disintegrated from the speed, you know, when you hit the wall.
Uh-huh.
And they barely found not only that, but my helmet came off, if you can believe that. So by the time I came to a stop, I was in the seat, I was holding on the wheel, I didn't have a helmet on, and one of my boots was gone.
Yeah. Like I said, I find that hard to believe, but I swear to God,
that happened to me in 1987. It was at the Autolite 200 in Tucson. Jesus. Man, I tell you, brother.
So your helmet came off.
The helmet was gone. And that's enough to put the fear of God into any man, I'll tell you that.
I guarantee
but,
it, yeah.
But that isn't
like
what...
I said, I've seen a lot of wrecks, and I've raced for about 6 years myself, and
when
I've seen a lot
see,
of them. But...
When you see a race car disintegrate so that all that's left is a guy sitting in a bucket seat holding on to the wheel.
On the steering wheel, yeah, that's a bad wreck. I ain't saying it didn't happen, but I've never seen one happen like that.
I hope you never do. I hope you ever do, son, because that's a hell of a thing.
Yeah.
All right, sir, thank you for your call. Man, what a cataclysmic wreck that would be. To be left just strapped to the bucket seat with no helmet holding onto the steering wheel. It's the Phil Hendry Show here, 1-800-449-8686, 1-800-449-8686.
Oh, y también green card. El vuelo de esta noche estaremos presentando diarrhea. Y también debo mencionar Taco Bell Chihuahua. Y ahora, aquí está Phil.
Phil Hendry Show at 1-800-449-8686. Former stock car, race car driver, Austin Amarca on the line with us here from Lancaster. And he's talking about a lot of different things, talking specifically about the over-commercialization of racing, the specifics of racing, the techniques and tactics. We still aren't sure. We've had a couple of people call up. You say you don't know what drafting is?
No, I'm not saying I don't know what it is. I'm saying a lot of people, it's hard to explain what drafting is. You know, I'm not sure, but I'll tell you that it had a lot to do with that accident that I was in, okay? I know how to do it. That's what I'm saying. That's all drivers need to know is how to do it. I don't know what it is, but I'm just saying, when you get on the track, all you need to know is you push down on the gas pedal and you go like a bat out of hell until someone slows you up. Now, there's a couple times when you've got to stop off and get gas, or you have to stop off. And
that's in the pits, obviously.
Well, yeah. They'll hold up a sign and say, come on in. And you'll stop, and they'll do whatever they got to do. A lot of times, I don't know, they'll put...
They're fueling up there, I know. I've seen them on TV.
Yeah, they're fueling up. They're doing that. They're wiping off the windshield or whatever to give you something to drink. Whatever they do, because you don't really know. You're sitting there, and it's all you can do just to talk to anybody, because you just come off the track at 200 miles an hour, so your brain is about 100 yards down the raceway. So you're sitting there just trying to get yourself collected, and they're doing all the things they do.
Okay, here is Calabasas on the Phil Hendry Show. Hello.
Hi.
Hi.
This guy's such a goof. He doesn't know anything. He's a goofball. Can you hear me?
Yeah, we're listening.
I mean, you know, the NASCAR thing, I'm a girl and I know more than you do, and I'm like a real girly girl. And, you know, it's a real sophisticated sport. You have that whole pit crew and the pit chief, and they tell you
well,
when
it doesn't sound to me like you know much more about the sport than he does.
Yeah, what exactly? What are you talking about?
I'm a girl.
What are you talking about?
Well, whether you're a girl or lady, there are a lot of women that hang around racetracks, so that's not a handicap,
it's a very,
okay?
Sport.
A lot of women that run pit crews and stuff,
more complicated,
okay?
Complicated than this guy is.
Well,
saying.
I don't know what you ain't said nothing yet.
Well, for one thing,
you
I mean,
ain't
you
said
no,
you ain't said a word.
Yeah,
just said
a,
I'm a girl, whatever. Like Mr. Henry said, a lot of women that are running pit crews for crying out loud. What's that got to do with it?
What
are you talking about? You ain't said
well,
nothing
first
yet.
First of all, when are the big days that you were racing with Jeff Gordon? When was that?
Lady, what is your opinion, okay? I mean, you haven't said anything. We're not answering questions here.
Well,
we're talking about...
First of all, I think racing is...
I think what you got here is some woman is a wannabe. You know, you see a lot of these broads hanging around the track. They want to know the drivers. You know, they want to be in the pits.
No, I don't want to be... No, I don't want to be... You're a nut.
Well, you know, what are you talking about?
Well, first
you know
of all,
more
I think
I
the drivers are better today.
You know more than I do, and you ain't said nothing yet.
Okay, well, drivers are better today than
what?
They were a long time ago,
no, they're
I
not.
Think.
No, they're not.
Yes, they are.
No, they're not.
I think Jeff Gordon is awesome. Tony
I Jeff
Stewart.
Gordon, I could drive circles around Jeff Gordon.
You could not.
Yes, I could.
Tony Stewart, he is amazing.
Who?
Tony Stewart, he's the rookie of the year, you goofball.
Tony Stewart. Tony Stewart's a IRL?
No, he's a NASCAR driver.
He's a NASCAR driver?
No.
He's a NASCAR driver. He's a Home Depot car. He is it. He's everything. He's going to be he's the rookie
lady,
of the year.
Lady, you ain't said nothing.
Well,
I'm still waiting
saying,
to hear all
you
of your knowledge about
Tony
racing.
Stewart is.
I'm still waiting to hear your knowledge about racing. Do you know how have you ever been in a car going 200 miles an hour?
You don't know, even go
no.
200 miles
have
an hour. You go 180
never,
miles an hour.
Have you ever been in a car going 200 miles an hour?
When did you go 200 miles an hour?
Okay, I got to tell you, my guest may not know much, but I don't know how much you know, because the NASCAR, they get up close to 200 miles an hour, okay?
Well, sweetheart,
and,
at Talladega,
they get up close to, no, we can hear you fine, but I'm just, you know, interjecting my opinion, okay?
To 200 miles an hour.
Exactly, okay,
listen,
so.
But when you're going that fast.
You ain't said nothing yet.
The difference
you ain't said
is
nothing
because
yet.
Okay, at 180
miles an hour.
California Speedway. Shut up.
Have you ever been in a race car going 200 miles an hour? Yes or no?
Hell no.
The answer's no. Okay.
And neither have you.
Yes, I have.
You
have been out. I have been out.
Oh God.
I got into an accident that almost killed me.
And Talladega is the fastest track, and they don't even go 200 miles an hour. 190.
I was in an accident that almost killed me.
At Talladega.
I said close to 200.
Well, all right,
close to 200.
I had never gone on NASCAR. I never raced NASCAR. I've been on the junior circuit.
Well, you said you competed against with Jeff Gordon.
Yeah, when
you
they was coming
NASCAR
up.
Circuit.
When they was coming up through the junior circuits, I did.
Well, then
you're too busy letting us know what you don't
you
know about racing,
look.
Okay? You don't know any more than I do about racing.
You know what?
All right, okay. Thanks for your call, man. Here is Spartanburg on the Phil Henry Show. Hello.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. You're on the air.
This is Chuck Duncan. I'm from Spartanburg. I just got a couple comments.
What about that broad? She don't know nothing about racing.
Okay, fine. I figured out that she's probably a bit more of a fan than she
maybe.
Is an aficionado. Go ahead, sir.
Maybe that's true. Maybe the woman knows nothing about racing, but I've been in motorsports. I'm 23 years old. My family grew up with David Pearson. Know a pretty good bit myself. There's a lot more that I probably still got to learn about motorsports. I've been driving race cars ever since I was 17 years old.
David Pearson was pretty good.
David Pearson was one of the best drivers there ever was.
Well.
Excuse me?
I'm not going to go that far.
Well, he won 105 Winston Cup races.
Yeah,
there's only
good.
One person that's won more than he has, and that's Richard Petty.
No,
200
I know,
wins.
I know. No, I'm saying that's good. I'm not
okay.
He's one of the best.
All right, I wanted to clarify that.
Pearson
is one of the great racers of NASCAR.
That's stretching it.
Okay.
Don't you think that's stretching it?
If the guy's second
no,
only to
let me
if
make
he's second
sure.
only to Richard Petty, I'd say that's one of the best of all time.
Richard Petty is one of the best drivers of all time.
Well, I know Richard Petty, King Richard. I know him, number 43. I know him.
Okay. Can I make a comment, please?
David Pearson, come on.
Okay. There's several comments I really would like to make.
Number Go ahead, one, sir. Yes.
Okay. I don't know personally Jeff Gordon, but I have pretty good knowledge of him growing up because we raced go karts, not together, but. If you race stock cars, did you race stock cars your whole career, sir?
Yes, sir. Yes, stock cars. I also did midget racing on some of the dirt tracks down here, Ascot Park, Southern California.
Oh, really?
I did figure eight, you know, and I started out doing all that stuff.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay, number one, you said that NASCAR, as far as the educational level, is not up to par now.
I don't think so. You know, I just want to say something, if I could, Phil. I've gone faster. The day my car disintegrated in that bucket seat, I went faster, okay, than a lot of these guys coming up. I mean, my seat was going faster down the track than a lot
okay.
of these guys.
I don't know. What do you mean by that?
I mean, I've you know, they talk about how fast these guys go. Well, my bucket seat was sliding down that track faster than some of these boys do.
Mr. Henry, I got to disagree with that.
Boy,
that's crazy to say.
Why would you say something like that?
I'll tell you right now, the day my car broke up, and I was on my, well, you may think it's funny. If you come that close to death, I don't think you would. I was going down that, I was passing guys.
Well, maybe they slowed, maybe they yellow flagged the track so that they were slowing up.
That could be.
All right,
but I'm going well in excess of 100 miles an hour in a bucket seat.
All right, do you agree with me that things have changed as far as attendance-wise in Winston Cup racing today?
Oh, yeah, no doubt about it. No doubt about it.
Do you think their marketability, they've had to change things as far as the appearance as NASCAR has presented?
Absolutely.
Do you think that they have had to change that to approach as far as sponsors?
Absolutely.
And the drivers, you were talking about them flashing a smile. I think the drivers have to be more marketable nowadays, and that's something I will agree with you on
well,
as far
like
as...
the old days is all I'm saying, you know. And
oh, yeah.
You're talking
I agree with
about
you as far
Richard,
as
all them boys. You know, Bobby Allison, all them boys. Hell,
they were race car drivers. They had nothing else to worry about but racing. But you have to understand.
Well, Richard Petty did a lot of television commercials, STP and whatnot.
Well, yeah, that's
near the end of his career, Richard Petty had to change a lot. I think NASCAR racing has changed a lot as far as the drivers' profiles and image and
how
everything else.
How many of those guys slide on their ass down a track in a bucket seat?
Okay, but
see what I'm saying?
I want to know this, too.
Yeah.
Exactly what? I've run late models in this area for a year or two, and
right.
I just want to know, what divisions did you run in stock car racing?
Well, you know, I was down on up in Riverside. I run up in
late
Springs.
Model or what
late
actually,
model,
what type
late
of car
model, Riverside,
was it?
Riverside and Willow Springs and Rosamond, North Star out in up to
I'm familiar with all those tracks.
I've never been
to them. I'm from the South.
Okay.
But exactly what divisions? I'm curious. I want to know what divisions you actually ran.
Well, what's your point?
Well, I'll get to my point if you can explain to me what divisions you ran.
I don't know what you're trying to find out.
Well, there's just several things that I want to get to. But first, I'd like to know what divisions you ran.
Just get to them.
Get to them. Okay, number one, the drafting
Do you know what drafting is?
Yes, sir. I'm getting ready to explain that if you'll just sit back and listen to me.
You know what it is.
Number one,
a lot of these people don't know.
Well, see, I race go-karts at Volusia County Speedway. Are you familiar with that racetrack?
Volusia County, that's down Jacksonville way, ain't
it? That's near Florida. You're exactly right. It was a dirt track. I raced go-karts there when I was 16 years old before they actually changed it to asphalt.
You ever sliding on your ass down a track?
Go-karts over 100 miles an hour. That's not quite 200 in a car. I've been pretty quick in a
bucket seat. I mean, in a bucket seat.
Oh yeah. Well, just
that's
listen
I mean,
to this.
Okay.
First thing first. The more
all
cars,
that stuff,
sir.
That's all what I'm talking about.
Okay, number one, you kept saying earlier that getting in the line, going fast. Well, firsthand,
yeah, I want to go. That's the whole point.
All right, that's good and all. Okay, you made it clear earlier, fast is fast. All right, now I want you to listen to me for just a moment.
In a race car, yeah.
That's fine, okay.
Right.
Number one, if there's a car in front of you, all right, you want to get squared up with the car as centered as you can. All right, very first thing is that there's going to be a suction. I mean, being in a car, you should have known this, and you should have been able to explain it. The car up front breaks the air. It actually breaks the air for the car that's coming behind it.
Well, I don't know.
There's no air. The car is behind the car in front.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Well, just listen to me.
Suction and breaking air.
The second car in line, it has no air that is actually pushing. It has no downforce. The only downforce on the car that will be second in line or third in line or even further back. The more cars you get in the line, the better off you'll be. If you'll watch a NASCAR race on TV, two cars drop to the inside. It's hard for two cars to work against. 10.
Well,
the car up front breaks the air. The car that's second in line behind or third in line behind has no air that is actually holding the car back.
I don't know about that.
The what?
I don't know about that.
Well, I'm telling you, that's the way it works. I've been to the wind tunnel with Buckshot Jones race, Spartanburg.
Are you sure about this?
Yes, sir. If you want to field some other questions from other callers, you'll find out. If we got more educated people out there, we'll find out.
Well, that's what I'm saying. You're unique because most of these people don't know what they don't know. I don't need to. Okay.
So what you just explained is drafting, sir, right?
Yes, sir. That's basically what happens.
You weren't aware of that, Mr. Marka?
No, I didn't know that.
What happens in the draft, if there's two cars in the line, if one car is not going to be able to break out and pass, the way NASCAR is nowadays, they've got the body templates down, that one car is hard for a car to break out and pass two cars in a line. That's very tough to do.
Thank you very much.
Yes, sir.
We'll take a break. Phil Henry Show here with former race car driver Austin Amarca, and we just got drafting explained. So you're telling me you weren't familiar with what that gentleman just explained about drafting?
I don't know what he was talking about. I don't know what he and I don't think he's accurate. He's sure about it, but I don't think he's accurate.
That by drafting you're breaking the wind in front and there's a suction created.
I would know nothing about that.
Okay, 1-800-449-8686, Phil Henry Show. Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686. Austin Amarca, former race car driver. You were talking about. Let me just ask you something, okay? You don't know what drafting is.
I know what it is,
but you can't explain it, all right? And you're sailing down a racetrack in a bucket seat, going how fast?
Well, that's when my car disintegrated, Phil. That was back in '87.
I know that was in Tucson. How fast were you going?
Strapped into the seat, I was probably doing about 100 miles an hour, sliding down the racetrack.
Have you won any races?
I've been competitive. I haven't won that many, but I was competitive. But that's not the point. I mean, the point is I could have won a lot of races, but the sport got too commercial. And
what's that got to do with it?
Well, you know, they want the good-looking guys to win, and they want all the Jeff Gordons to win. I raced for the love of going fast. I wasn't in it commercially to win races, all that stuff. My whole thing was just go fast and look at everything going fast. I've enjoyed that very deeply all of my racing career, looking at all the stuff going by that's, you know, going really fast.
All right, Santa Cruz on the Phil Henry Show. Hello.
Austin, I have to tell you, the only thing you've raced is a big wheel, man. There is nothing that you said that is accurate to racing. I used to race motorcycles.
Oh, so in other words, I'm a liar?
That is what I'm calling you.
Well, how do I know you race motorcycles?
Well, I could test you on the turns for Willow Springs right now, and I bet you couldn't tell me 10 of them.
I don't care. I don't care whether you believe me or not. I lived a life, okay?
Well, maybe you lived a life.
You know, whether you believe me or not, it's not important.
I'm getting out of it, okay?
Because
I'm telling you, there is no way you can get off.
I was a fast car driver. I drove fast cars for 15 years, okay? Fast race cars on all of the fast racetracks.
your loose story about your bucket seat
happened to me.
There is no way.
Why is there no way?
You can physically get off and have your helmet bounce off your head.
It came off my head.
And survive with your luge without a chassis.
Hey,
I'm telling you, getting off a motorcycle, I've got
right
up at heavy speed.
It's happened to a lot of guys. Yeah, you guys slide down the track all the time. I say you guys are wearing paper thin painting. Yeah,
suits.
I say you guys, meaning guys that actually race motorcycles.
I have no idea who I'm talking to, okay? Real guys.
But I'm
who
talking
race
about
NASCAR.
Guys that I ran down a racetrack. Screw you.
All right, here is North Wilkesboro on the Phil Henry Show. Hello.
Hey.
Yes.
Like I was saying earlier, I don't know where you got this guy, but
what is it with everybody disbelieving me? I lived a life.
Well, let me ask you this. When you came out of that car in that seat.
Yes, sir.
Belts and everything still on.
What, sir?
The belts. Your seat belts.
Yeah, my belt was still on me.
Okay. You didn't have it hooked to the chassis?
Well, whatever, it was hooked to the assembly, the whole seat assembly.
That's impossible. impossible.
It's impossible. Everybody calling me a liar tonight.
Each one of those belts can stand 1,500 pounds of pressure. I mean, and that's constant, not peak.
Right.
If they're hooked to the chassis of the car, they're not going to come loose. I mean, it is impossible.
The seat
grade A bolt if you really race sanctioned events, and they inspected that car.
The seat assembly come free of the chassis, so the whole seat assembly and where the belt was hooked up, that was all came free.
Well, if you read it, I hate it for you. I've never heard anything like
that.
Yeah,
I'll tell you. If you want to see some pictures of it, I've got them.
Well, I tell you what. Let me explain draft to you. Simply.
I don't need you explaining nothing to me. I told you what happened to me, okay?
All right. I can put it in terms that you'll understand.
I understand it, okay?
All right.
I come down the raceway strapped into a bucket seat.
Whatever.
Well, you may think that's funny, okay? So why do I need to talk to you?
He wants
cars.
To explain drafting, all right?
I build ASA and Dash Series cars. I'm
whatever.
In a transporter right now headed south Boston Speedway.
That's great.
Aerodynamically, there's three things to a car.
Oh, boy.
You have resistance, downforce,
uh-huh.
Drag.
Great.
Resistance is your nose cone as far as how it goes.
All I
there.
Need to know is how to go fast. That's all
well,
I need to know.
I'll tell you how to go fast.
I know how to go fast. You step on that gas pedal, my man. You step on that gas pedal, and you just keep right on sailing.
All right. Here is Memphis on the Phil Henry Show. Hello.
Hey.
Yes, sir.
I just wanted to express my opinion about the marketing standpoint of NASCAR.
Yeah, all those guys with the big shiny teeth.
And they sell the quartz oil and the batteries and everything else. Fortune 500 companies
whatever.
Want a pretty boy.
Yeah,
and
they
I
don't
tell
know
you
how
what, these
drive.
Pretty boys.
They don't know how to drive. That's the only
These
problem.
Pretty boys got some guts. You got Tony Stewart.
Get out of here.
You got Jeff Gordon. You got Steve Park, Dale Earnhardt Jr.
Those are all names, okay?
They're the best.
I was strapped into a seat sliding down the runway.
Okay, Mr. Henry?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
Hey, man.
I'm not going to argue with that gentleman because
I understand.
I am
okay.
from North Carolina.
Yes, sir, I understand.
And I work on a Winston Cup race team.
I don't want to argue with
you
either, okay?
And his seat was not mounted correctly if it slid down the track. And you had the individual
well, if the seat
from
was...
North Wilkesboro and the one that just called from Buckshot Racing.
Yeah.
Those guys are the truth.
Okay,
drafting
well...
is dividing the resistance of the air between the two cars.
Whatever. What difference does it
and
make?
And the front car creates a vacuum that sucks the next car behind it. You don't have to run full throttle on the pedal.
Hey.
You got power and reserve. And when that guy's talking about a slingshot,
yeah.
you push the pedal down and you can go out and make the pass.
Well, let me ask you a question,
sir.
Let me ask you a question about this seat coming free from the chassis.
That's what happened to me.
That seat was not mounted correctly.
Well, all right, if the seat was not...
needs to be shut down because he was completely in an unsafe race car.
Okay. But it's possible for the seat to... It's possible for the seat to come loose from the assembly, correct?
There was something wrong there. Something
there
was not
you go.
Going right.
So thank you very much. See,
Mr. Henry.
You, I told you I wasn't lying.
Mr. Henry, I'm not calling your guest a liar.
I was. Thank you, sir.